Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We meet as a staff every night, and we go over what we're looking to do, not just the next day, but also big picture view. And so we're all on the same page, and I like to take the thoughts. I told that staff when we came back from the summer that I need a bunch of truth tellers around me. I need guys that aren't going to tell me what I want to hear, but are going to tell me how they see it. And then at the end of the day, I'll be able to assess the information and make a decision, and we'll go with it. And that's been the course so far.
Ben Johnson looking for truth tellers. Aren't we all? I mean, as we get older, as we mature, if we honestly want to be the best version of ourselves, we need people who can tell us the truth with love, with some compassion, with a little bit of grace. Got that, Alex? Need all those.
And validation, right?
Well, sure, some validation, but not phony validation. Only validation if it's real, okay? But yeah, you need the truth. And Ben Johnson wants to be surrounded by truth tellers. It's an interesting thing when you are the man in full space command, and he is, but you need trusted people to tell you the truth, even as you are the boss. I like Ben Johnson, been very impressed by him, very optimistic about what the Bears season can be. I think it's going to be very, very interesting no matter what. I think they should be pretty darn good on defense because Dennis Allen is a terrific defensive mind and defensive coordinator. As a head coach, not so much. But as a defensive coordinator, absolutely terrific. And I'm fascinated to see what Ben can put together in short order with this offense. It speaks here with you on Spiegel and Holmes. We'll get to some White Sox stuff in the middle of the hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, at the end of the hour, I should say, you're going to hear some of the most entertaining stuff from the Radiothon. The 24-hour extravaganza that raised over $750,000 to go to BrainUp for cancer research. Unbelievable work by Danny Parkins. And great collaboration by Chris Tannehill and everybody here at the Score and with the Cubs and with Marquee. Really cool. And there was some funny, entertaining stuff that happened in the late hours that perhaps you did not catch. We're going to bring that to you a little bit later on. But one of the biggest things about this particular install of the Bears offense is just how clean a slate it has been for Caleb. Ben Johnson flat out admitting over the weekend that he kind of didn't learn anything of use in terms of an offensive install and footwork and timing and scheme in year number one. Like nothing. Like he learned about, you know, a season and how it's long and what a week looks like and things like that. But it's a hard reset. And once we heard Ben talk about that, it kind of puts everything in focus a little bit. It's sort of a rookie process in terms of the offense, the terminology, the pre-snap stuff, everything like that. And there's really nothing that can be added from Caleb's first year. So Caleb Williams was asked about that on Wednesday at his press conference, and I'm dying to hear how he furthered that concept.
Caleb, there's no carryover from what you were taught last year to what you're being taught now. Does it feel that way to you? Like you are starting over, starting fresh?
Yeah, no, it feels, you know, every year is going to be a start fresh year in that sense. But,
you know, with Ben, you know, him and I are going to be here, for a while, which is the plan. And, you know, there's going to be carryover from now on, but, yeah, it's different. It's a whole new playbook, different terminology, you know, different reads, you know, different footwork and, you know, different things like that. So, it was a lot, and it's still going to always be a lot. That's a part of, you know, playing this position. And so, being able to go out there and handle it all, is, you know, what we get paid to do. It's our job.
Yeah, it is. So how's it going as Caleb is learning new stuff? Like, you know, playing under center, which is a huge part of what Ben needs him to do. Think about Jared Goff and how often that Detroit offense had the quarterback playing under center. And then the drop, whether it's 3-step, 5-step, 7-step, it's all timing. And you got to do it exactly right in order for everything to click with that offense. So how's that going, Caleb, learning to play under center?
Caleb, I have two questions about you being under center as opposed to the shotgun.
Yep.
What do you like the most about it? And what's the biggest challenge of it?
There hasn't really been a challenge for me under center. I know that's been a big thing. But you know, there hasn't really been a challenge. It's just been, you know, gaining the knowledge, you know, how, you know, the footwork, where we need to be, the landmarks of the running back, the landmark for me, you know, when I set up or when I, you know, when I'm rolling out or anything like that. So it's just been, you know, practicing the technique. And so what I like about it, you know, you get, you know, hard sell actions, backers biting, safety's eyes get, you know, crisscrossed with different motions and things like that. And, you know, it provides, you know, the defense actually identifies it differently from when you're a gun, back offset and things like that. So it's a bunch of small, minute things that end up mattering. And, you know, you end up having guys running free or you end up having great leverage on a safety or things like that. So it's helpful. You know, it's going to be a part of us for a long time.
Now that was juicy stuff. The last 30 seconds or so of that in terms of thinking like a quarterback, oh man, I'm a sexy baseball guy myself. But that was indeed some sexy football stuff. Oh yeah, I click that tab. Absolutely. Because he's understanding some of the things that are now available to him because he does it that way when he's under center. The leverage on the safety, guys crisscrossing, like all the things that Ben uses to dictate confusion and create opportunities, Caleb is seeing the benefits of that. Now, he says it's not been a big deal to adjust. What does Ben think? Does Ben think it's been difficult for Caleb to adjust to being under center? How much does he think about it? How much does he worry about it? Let's listen to Ben.
I haven't seen a whole lot of stumbling blocks in terms of the under center work. It's for some guys, it feels like a fish out of water, but I have not felt that from him, even in the springtime. And I know over the course of summer, he worked it a lot, whether it's drop back, whether it's play action. To answer your question, I don't even know if there's a whole lot of difference. I don't think about it a whole lot right now in terms of calling plays.
Is the exchange anything that you have concerns about?
No, it really isn't. I think we have had some balls on the ground. I think the cadence within the whole unit has been choppy at times. The get-off hasn't been the way we want it. Center snapping it maybe a tick early or a little bit late. And then we've had a couple times, the hot days, the ball's wet, and it's gotten away from us. But we're working to be more consistent in that regard. I think when we do, whether it's under center or in the shotgun, I think we'll feel a lot better about how practices went.
I like that he said he's not even thinking about it that much. He's not really concerning himself with it. He's just going ahead and calling the plays. Now, it's just practice. There's a long, long way to go. But this is the kind of stuff that's important for us to check in on. Because there's adjustment, and then there's just getting comfortable. When they get to these joint practices, and again, those are practices with other teams, not the kind of thing that Alex Kuhn consistently attends. The joint practices that Alex attends, taught by Ricky Williams, I believe, he gives you some joint practices. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I don't go to those anymore.
No, okay. Oh, you don't?
I don't need the practice.
Oh.
He oversees them.
That's good. Whatever it takes, pal. Maybe you can start leading that, working on the side a little bit. But no, when you get to these, like, these joint practices and obviously some of the preseason games, and yes, some of the regular season games. We're going to see a lot of bumps. But hopefully this process of getting the timing down and getting everything installed gets him so comfortable that it gets easier. It's interesting. Here's a little more Ben with our friend Cassie Carlson from Fox about how Caleb has improved.
Just the acceleration of giving him a play call to how quickly we can get in and out of the huddle. We're always judging and critiquing the pre-snap process, the footwork, the decision, the accuracy, all those things. And slowly but surely, you see improvement in each one of those categories. And so the result in terms of completion, incompletion might not be there, but all the little other minutiae, it is starting to add up.
You only get so much time with him on the field. You get to talk to him and be in meetings with him, whether that's in the quarterback room or one-on-one. And he mentioned he's like recalling plays in the car, using his notes app or voice memos to make sure he can get those play calls down. What do you notice about the way he's approaching the meetings and the questions that he's asking you, that he's starting to pick things up? It's like learning a new language.
Yeah, it's the maturity of a young quarterback, and you see that growing. You have to put in more work behind the scenes when no one's looking than any other position, probably in pro sports in general. And I think he's really come to understand what that means. I think having great coaches around him, with JT Barrett's doing a phenomenal job, Press Taylor and Declan are heavily involved as well, but a veteran like Case Keenum really can't be understated, because he knows what it looks like. He's been with numerous teams. He's got skins on the wall himself. And so he's got a great support system around him, and then Caleb's been more than willing to put in the work himself.
It's Ben Johnson talking about Caleb and the work that's going on. So far, so good, man. They're in a really good space, and it's nice. It's nice to think about. It's nice to dream on the possibilities. I'm getting asked about it a lot. Was asked about it today. Like, all right, I didn't want to ask. Was asked about it at dinner. Somebody's like, all right, I didn't want to ask, but I got to ask. Because are they going to be any good? Are they going to be any good? Like, that's the big question. I think so. It feels exciting. There's a lot of stuff that's still to sort out.
All the little other minutiae.
That's delicious, by the way. When you go to some of those Middle Eastern places and have other minutiae, man.
All the little other minutiae.
Like a fresh baked pita that's dipped in other minutiae. God, that's delicious.
All the little other minutiae.
Yeah, yeah. No, you might want to finish that word, Ben. Might want to add.
There's no time in the Ben Johnson offense to finish
actually,
words.
I kind of like it. Minutiae.
Minutiae. Like kind of the, yeah. Oh.
Don't get bogged down in the minutiae. Just
call it
minutiae.
No, frankly, the in minutiae is part of the minutiae. You know what I mean? You can't let it get in the way of everything you're trying to do. Time is too precious.
All the little other minutiae.
Was it Ali Farouk Manouche? Remember Ali Farouk Manouche?
You and I Panther, yes.
Oh, see, thank God Alex is here. I didn't remember that he was a Northern Illinois Panther.
Northern Iowa.
Or, yeah, either. See? I didn't. Clearly. You could tell I didn't remember.
You don't remember his game-winning shot against Kansas in the NCAA tournament?
I do. Oh, okay. I knew there was a big shot against somebody, but I didn't know most of that. I didn't know any of that. I heard about some of it. I heard about most of it. I know a little bit about it.
No, that was a big shot, all right. This guy sitting next to me, college hoops maven.
He is. Thank God he's here. He's going to do a college.
He's currently the head coach of the Colorado State Rams.
That's right. I saw that he was. And I think at one point, me and McNeil were talking about doing a song for Ali Farouk Manesh to the Marrakesh Express. By Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Anybody?
Wow, it's hard to believe you guys never were able to
get that one in.
Yeah.
Don't you know we're counting on Ali Farouk Manesh? I mean, it made all the sense in the world at the time. And folks, if you get that reference, please have your affairs in order. If you understand that reference, make sure that
all the little other minutiae.
As a notary has worked on your will. It's going to be good. It feels like it is that they're going to be good. Like, 9-8 to me is a breeze. They are an over 500 team. Yeah, I said it.
Careful there. No,
what?
Wow, you wait till you know Lawrence is gone. Wait till Danny's gone, and
That's right.
Roll out your hot takery.
Right. I will say
with a pocket schedule game, you go through those 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I've done it a few times. You're going to come out with. I've come out with 10 or 11 wins a couple times.
I've come out with 10 wins a couple of times.
And there's something about the actual pocket schedule that makes you more of a meatball. Yeah. That you go to the convenience store and grab one.
Yeah.
So you are immediately prone to adding more victories to it.
The Bears make all of us meatballs. It's a delight to just allow ourselves to turn into the meatballs that we are. There's so few things that let you just feel that meatball-y sports fan vibe. And the Bears are one for this entire town. And it's just outstanding. There's been a lot of stuff going on in terms of the targets. Can we hear Ben Johnson wax rhapsodic about Rome Odunze first? Because he loves him some Rome.
Should we go back to May?
Yeah.
As Alex pointed out in our thread today.
This
has been he's been his guy since very early on in the rookie mini camp.
I'm extremely impressed for to be a second-year guy, you would expect a little bit more inconsistency, and yet the way he approaches the meeting room, the walkthroughs, the on-the-field, the drill work, it's very much like a seasoned pro, some of the best that I've been around. And so he's still learning. I know there's a lot of information that he is getting thrown his way. Coach Randall and Picazzo, they're doing great jobs with him right now. And I think we're going to see a lot of growth from him, not just in the springtime, but once we get to camp.
So, I mean, that's exciting. That's Ben. Very excited. That's May. Well, how about now, Ben? How about now that you've gotten a look at him? I've got to look at this big-bodied wideout who ought to be somebody you can slot into a very important spot.
And when you took the job and you're assessing what assets are here on the roster, you look at Rome Odunze, what did you see that was already there to look with, a sketch of what you think could?
Yeah, to me he fits that prototypical X receiver where you can line him up outside the numbers, and provided he gets a one-on-one with a corner, he's going to win most of his matchups. Slant routes, stop routes, go routes, you know, the whole route tree outside the numbers, and that's what I've seen from him so far. He's a really detailed route runner. I think he had a route yesterday in one-on-ones that was really impressive. He's looking one way, breaks the other way, and really snaps it off for a sharp cut. And when you have a long guy that can win contested catches and torque down the field and all that, but yet still can drop his weight and get into and out of routes like he can, that's really a unique skill set that we're going to look to capitalize on.
Oh, yeah, man. Prototypical X receiver, unique skill set, can run everything. It's nice to hear the coach that pumped up about a guy that we know has a lot more success possible on his, in his season than he had last year.
That's wide receiver one, right? Doesn't that sound like a potential wide receiver one on this team?
I think so. I think very much so. And I think if you are Ben Johnson, you are more enamored by that guy's abilities and flexibilities and skill set and perhaps even work ethic than you are by any other wide receiver on this roster.
He never had a true X receiver in Detroit, a guy that could, with that type of speed, guy that could get off press coverage and go make contested catches like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about the way that he talked about other players on the roster, including Caleb and DJ Moore, back in May, and look at the way he has talked about Rome Odunze from the outset. I think that the tea leaves are there for him to have a huge season.
And DJ Moore's been getting a lot of time in the backfield. I think they'll be using DJ Moore as sort of an interesting weapon in a number of different ways, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of targets for Rome Odunze. And you know Caleb is a fan. You know that he and Rome have a thing on the scramble drill as well. So, yeah, I think expecting big things from Rome makes a lot of sense in the world. One of the biggest stories of the week is that Luther Burden was not only healthy, but absolutely explosive, making big, big catches in practice the other day. Here's Ben Johnson on Luther Burden.
Luther getting a late start, needing to catch up. Is there anything you're seeing now that he's been on the field a little bit that suggests he is catching up or is on track to catch up?
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 days and some team drills, and the play speed stood out to me yesterday. I was really impressed with that. Still working on the alignment and the details, as you would expect for a young player, but the play speed jumped off the tape to us all yesterday.
So, man, that's his Jameson Williams. I mean, you think about just absolutely filthy speed weapon to do a million different things, as he did in Detroit, and to sneakily get open deep and be a surprise as a defense is worried about a whole bunch of other things. Whew. Whew. It's getting going now. We're talking about the targets. You see why 9 wins is a walk? Tanny, you get it? It's the Friday news dump of hot takes. That's what's happening right here. 5:18, baby, on a Friday.
A little birdie at the lunchroom at Wrigley Field told me, who's been out at Bears practice, that Luther has looked really, really good the last couple days.
Was it Cal Ripken Jr.?
It was not Cal Ripken Jr.
What was it, Cheryl Ray? What was it?
I can't tell you who it was.
It was Cheryl Ray Stout.
Absolutely nailed that.
Okay, you nailed it.
Was it a little John Birdie? And he's not that little. Okay. And just because Willie Castro is here, John Birdie's roster spot is not in question. Several textures getting in on some songs that they miss. The Dwayne Bowe Connection. I felt really good about that one. I was proud of that one. Someday we'll find it, Alex, the Dwayne Bowe Connection. Aroma Shadu, We're Counting on You. That's going way back. And a lot of people angry that we said they should get their affairs in order just because they know Marrakesh Express. Scott in Woodstock is, I'm 47. I don't want to get my affairs in order. Another guy's 27. And by the way, I don't think Neil Young was with them at the time. That's right. It's on the debut album from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I see the garden in your hair. Yes, I do. You know what? I can't make a clean segue to Luis Robert and Chris Getz and the White Sox. I'd like to. All on board.
With that, we'll pivot to the negative.
All on board the train of this hour to get into the White Sox activities. Why is Luis Robert still here? What is that about? And what does it mean that they're going to do? I am intrigued enough to hear from Chris Getz. And you'll hear from one of the main baseball reporters in the business, just absolutely torching them. You'll hear all that next on 670 The Score.
All the little other minutiae.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Matt Walsh, who you know from all sorts of movies.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Hello, Matt.
Uh-oh, Cylon's got him.
They got him.
Matt, thanks for joining us. We're really sorry about the technical issues here, man.
Thank you for having me, and turns out all those layoffs at the Score IT department didn't pay off.
They really didn't.
They really didn't.
No. You just got a lot more real than you bargained for. We are going in the emotional tank for the rest of the interview.
Afternoons on the Score.
Again, he was a 5-win player, looked like future superstar. It hasn't happened, but there's still value. Your thoughts?
Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, 30-30 upside. It all comes down to health. I do think two things are working in his favor when it comes to a change of scenery. One, he has known for the last year plus that he's a short-term guy in Chicago. Yonder can speak to this a little bit better, but when you know you're not really part of the future, it makes it a little harder to come to the park every day and give your best.
So that's Luis Robert Jr. being discussed by none other than Rick Hahn, who signed him to the extension in a moment of surreality at the trade deadline on MLB Network. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on 670 The Score. This is not hit and run. This is not the Radiothon. This is not a Ryan Sandberg processing show. This is Spiegel and Holmes on a Friday afternoon. And you got 30 more minutes of me and this. And then we will be catapulted into the weekend. And coming up after us at 6 o'clock here on The Score is...
We got Best Of.
Best Of.
Best Of The Score.
Come wow, on. So they just rerun this show, huh? Cool.
It is for 2 hours, so we could just...
What I would rerun...
Start it from the top.
Is that exchange that we just had right now with me setting it up and setting you up. I mean, I would just run that 12 to 15 times. In the meantime, Cedric Mullins went from the Orioles to the Mets. They picked up a center fielder, did the Mets, and it's not the one they wanted at first. They wanted Luis Robert Jr., and that was something to follow the entire time as that conversation was happening, and very quickly, as the day went on, you realized, Are the White Sox not doing this? And John Heyman said, yeah, no, I don't think they're doing this. And it was like, what? Why are they not doing this? And what exactly happened? The Mets ended up trading three prospects, Ramon Gomez, Anthony Nunez, and Chandler Marsh, to the Orioles for Cedric Mullins. Nunez is number 18 of their top 30 prospects, or was anyway. The other two are outside of the top 30. So would you have traded Luis Robert for that, for three arms, three lottery tickets, whatever they were? They're not all pitchers, but would you have done that? Yes, I would have done that. Because you got to get something for Luis Robert, don't you? Here's Bob Nightingale from USA Today on the White Sox holding on to Luis Robert Jr.
Then with the White Sox, yeah, to go back to, you know, Luis Robert, just not trading him is a disaster. Should have got more for those guys. You know, you talk to GMs, they get frustrated dealing with Chris Getz too. So, they kind of stood pat. But I think the Robert thing, you know, they should have traded him in the winter for one. They had to trade him now. I don't think they can pick up that, you know, that option. I think it's stupid to throw another $20 million down the drain. If anybody thought he was any good, they would have, you know, they would have grabbed him. I mean, they were begging the Philadelphia Phillies to trade him and trade to him, and the Phillies had no interest. I mean, everybody sees the same thing. The guy rarely plays. I don't care how much talent you have. You know, Anthony Rendon's got talent too, but he's not playing, so what good is it?
So what the hell, man? If they're not going to pick up the option, then what are you doing? It frankly, it reminds you of when the Bulls hung on to some pieces at the deadline that they ended up letting walk for nothing. Is this a Reinsdorfian situation? I'm confused.
Well, technically, didn't they allow Jose Abreu to walk for nothing as well? And granted that, you know, you're always better off getting something. He turned out to not have a really good Astros tenure, but still they got nothing for him.
Yeah, you're right. They've done this before. By the way, it is three pitchers who went for Luis Robert. So it's three pitchers, two outside the top 30 from the Mets to the Orioles, but nothing. Here's Chris Getz after the deadline. They did move Adrian Hauser, and that's a very nice sign-in flip to get whatever they got from Tampa for Adrian Hauser. And they did move Austin Slater to the Yankees. But here's Chris Getz on keeping Luis Robert.
You know, other teams have identified him as a guy that could help their club, and there was an effort to acquire him, but certainly it wasn't to the level in which we felt like kind of met the mark for us to move on from a talent like Luis Robert. You know, what he does defensively, offensively, you know, what he's capable of doing, and certainly on the base pass, You know, we just love Louis Robert. We do. And, you know, we've got more time and we just didn't feel like it made any sense for us. You see what he's done here recently and impacting our major league club, you know, and you know, you look at, you know, some of our young players and that are beginning to thrive at the major league level. I think Louis is part of that. And that was part of the calculus with, you know, maintaining, you know, most of this roster was, you know, having an environment for our young players to continue and have success at the major league level and going out every night and you know, really playing competitive baseball and winning some ball games against, you know, teams that are in first place and leading divisions and are going to be playoff teams. So, you know, we really value having Louis Robert being part of this. We do. And, you know, culturally and environmentally with what Will has done with the staff and the vibes throughout the clubhouse, you know, that was part of the equation and who we were going to move and maintain here. So, you know, the Louis certainly, you know, there was a lot of interest up until, you know, the final minutes here. And, you know, obviously we didn't match up, but we anticipate him being here. We do.
Anticipate him being here beyond this year. Okay. Well then there you go. So maybe Nightingale doesn't know what the hell he's talking about in terms of them not picking up the option, because that sounds like a guy who wants Louis Robert to be here.
If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on, you guys can certainly do that.
I'm good right now, but thank you, Jed, for the offer and the blessing. So let's discount the Nightingale for the moment and just think about the Getz. If you're choosing to have Louis Robert be here for just the rest of this year and be a part of your environment and a part of your winning atmosphere, that to me is extremely questionable. I believe in environment and winning atmosphere and young players being around good players and such, but it's not necessary for the last, what are we at, 50 games of the season? It's not necessary to have him for that. It truly isn't, because what Will Venable is building is bigger than 50 games of Louis Robert as a teammate. But if you're thinking about keeping him and you're saying that he's going to be part of that environment as you move on and you have the money to spend on the $20 million, and oh, by the way, if he does improve his trade value and actually give you an option in the offseason to pick up the option and deal him, I suppose, or next year once you pick up the option and you deal him, okay. All right. That I can wrap my head around. I don't agree with it. I think it's a bad decision and a weird choice, but I can wrap my head around that. If you're not going to pick up the option, I can't wrap my head around it at all. Oh my God. Celebrity line ringing. The man did 24 hours of radio and it's clearly not enough. And we've been wondering what he's doing. Did you sleep? Like, how quickly did you get to sleep when you left the station today at 10 o'clock, Danny Parkins?
What up, buddy? I saw it was the second shortest game in Cubs history or whatever. You know what? I got three more minutes in me.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm great. I feel a little weird. I got to my mom's, I don't know, sometime 11:15, 11:20, something like that. Yeah. And, was asleep by noon and, got like probably 4 hours, I would say. And then just like started to like kind of toss and turn and be in and out. And I'm going to go out to pizza and beers with some buddies and then hopefully be back asleep by 10 o'clock tonight. And then, at Wrigley tomorrow, full ready to go.
That should work. Yeah. I think that should work in terms of your circadian rhythms and your body's need for rest. Like the fact that you got four, and if you get to bed by 10 or so, you should be all right, man. I think you sound human, which is impressive. Oh,
I mean, it's not a threshold I always clear, so that's good. Yeah, and I realized I'd been awake for 29 and a half straight hours by the time my head hit the pillow, because
man,
I didn't get to sleep in really before the radiothon. I was in a hotel. I'd been in L.A. the day before, so my body was all messed up. And Venice Beach is lovely. It really is, but Santa Monica Pier is a bit of a scene. But no, I just wanted to call in and say, to the afternoon mob. Like, I thought everything that the Twitches did and the Score audience. I'm always going to be a radio guy. Who knows what the future holds? But it's a special medium, and it's the type of thing that I don't know if it filled up my radio meter for a whole year, but it was a really, really, really special thing, and it was an honor to share 4 hours with you again and working with Tanny. I know the Score audience knows how good he is, but I still think he's underappreciated nationally and locally. He's truly a pro, and it was just an honor to be back with you guys. So thank you for being so gracious with the time and having me on to promote it and the whole thing. It was a true honor.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's kind of you to say. It was pretty amazing to get to spend that time with you and to be part of it. Let me say this. First of all, every person that I saw at the ballpark today was like, oh my God, I cannot believe what you guys did. Oh my God. That was amazing. That, like, the vibes were just remarkably, remarkably good and thankful and like proud. And I didn't want to take it. It felt like stolen valor a little bit for me to take it, because you've been working your ass off. So I deflected each time, and you deserve it, man. Like, this is a tremendous amount of good work that's been done, and people are moved by it, man. So it's tremendous. So that's the first thing. And the second thing
I'll accept the valor. Let's go one at a time. I'll accept the valor tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll accept it tomorrow. But thank you. I'm glad everyone was happy with it. It was my honor.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Second good. Thing. And then the second thing is, I don't know how we got so many laughs in 4 hours of cancer fundraising yesterday, but there were a lot of laughs in 4 hours of cancer fundraising. That was kind of impressive, actually, considering what we do. You know,
we're really good at what we do. That's why we're excellent at what we do. That's why we are the 1%. And so that's why not everyone can do it. Some people struggle to get laughs when talking football. We can get laughs when talking cancer. That's why we're better.
Tanny,
as soon as I got in today, Porth pulled me into his office. He's like, hey, did you hear that first call of the 8 o'clock hour? Danny, do you remember which one I'm talking about? Probably not. It was all a blur. But like, you and Grody were talking about how, hey, we had so much fun doing the overnight last time, and we're going to bring some of that vibe back. And Grody inferred that it was about the callers and having fun with callers. And the first caller out of the shoot that you guys took told a really harrowing story. And then Grody's all like, well, guess we're not going to have fun with callers tonight. And Ryan Porth was so excited to play that for me.
That was an incredible moment. It was great. Like, Grody, you didn't want to do overnights again. I wonder why. So he did 6 hours with me, which was incredible. And him and I vibed so well, which was great. Rami Makhlouf with his comedy background, and Jason Goff drove into the studio. And he came in at from midnight to 1:30 in the morning and hung out with Rami and I, which kept the vibes really light. At two something in the morning, someone said you're a good man or something, and I said, and thorough, you know, Lawrence makes that reference, the Big Lebowski reference, whatever. And then someone said, I got the Big Lebowski reference, and I'm like, well, I'm glad I laid it on pretty thick. And we did, like, Rami and I did probably like 2.5 minutes straight of Big Lebowski quotes, and I was just punch drunk. It was great. I had a lot of it. You can have laughs amidst the sadness. Brad did, so why can't we? It's kind of part of his ethos.
You have to. Yeah, in fact, you absolutely have to. I'm being told I should ask where your suitcase is. Did you end up with your suitcase?
No.
What happened? No. What happened?
You forget. Okay, well, so I was in a hotel for Tuesday and Wednesday night, and then I'm staying at my mom's tonight, and so I brought my suitcase to the Score, and I put it back in your guys' office before the radiothon while I was getting ready. And then I did 24 hours and raised $750,000 and they got me a car and I forgot it. And so I just left the studio. Thankfully I had my toiletries with me in my backpack because I was like trying to like freshen up over the course of the radiothon because the first radiothon I forgot to put on deodorant for 24 hours and I stunk at the end of it. So I have my toiletries with me. The Cubs gave me an awesome blue rhino jersey, the one that hung in the studio. So I have my outfit all ready for tomorrow anyway. And so Mitch is going to bring my suitcase to Wrigley, and I'll figure that out from there. So pretty spectacular to just for complete. I mean, I forgot a week's worth of clothes at the radio station.
I see confetti on the ground here. I missed the final moment. Did Mitch explode confetti in your general direction and terrify you at the end?
Congratulations.
Mitch was, I think, at Wrigley for All-Star announcement. So Porth and Ashley took care of it. You know, Ashley and her promotions team, they are great. Like Ashley Fields, Ashley Sorensen, Michael Cash, and their team are really, really, really good. And Ashley was outside the studio for like the last 90 minutes of it because it's always so chaotic at the end. And I was checking in with her every break on a bunch of stuff. And then she made sure to make me feel very special at the end with the confetti. But she also knows how to do it. Like she did it at like a responsible like 8-foot distance. So she didn't do any like semi-permanent damage to my left eardrum like Mitch did, who launched the second one in my ear from like 90 or like nine, whatever it was, 9 inches away, whatever it was. I'm speaking, you know, I'm speaking while in bed. You understand. Whoa!
That'll wake me up.
This is one.
Jesus Christ. Congratulations.
Let the record show I laughed in exactly the same spot in real life that I did on the sound effect. You know, I'm dependable that way. Oh my God!
Yes,
well,
you are.
Dude, I love that. I love that Jason came in the middle of the night and like it's ended up being an old home week. In a lot of ways, and it's a really nice way to think about Ryan Sandberg and to incorporate that into our lives and to think about your bro and. And great job, man. So hopefully we do it again next year and try to beat a ridiculous number that you achieved this year.
Yeah, thank you. I you know, that'll obviously the goal. I felt like Scottie Scheffler. It's like, oh God, am I already on to the next tournament? Like, what is this all about? Do I get any satisfaction from it? But I do, and it was amazing, and it was really cool. And I fully expect to be back next year. I have no idea about beating the total. We'll need more big people to come on and say that they want to make their corporate donations to something that's 100% to cancer free, because I think the perfect storm of the timing with Rhino this year made for a very special thing. And Speaks, we don't have full accounting yet, but I was thinking about it and I tried to do the math on the air. But again, I'd been up for at that point 27 and a half hours, I believe. When the final donations crack in, I think we are at $1.97 million raised over the three radiothons. So I think we've got almost at $2 million raised of the three radiothons, and that was the largest charity event in the history of the radio station. So I don't know if it can be topped without that timing of Rhino and that momentum that it gave us, but I'm damn sure going to try.
Danny, go get some more rest, enjoy your pizza, and good luck tomorrow, man. Have fun. It's going to be a very special day. Today was special with Jody Davis and Sutcliffe and Sean Dunstan carrying second base out there. I can only imagine what tomorrow is going to be like with all the Cubs wearing the Cubby blue jerseys with no name on the back and number 23. Going to be very special stuff.
It is going to be. And again, the Cubs, you know, that first guest who kicked off the radiothon with Robbie Cathy and Robbie Jr., they've invited Robbie Jr. After his story and his reaction to the Pete Crow Armstrong message that we were able to facilitate on the score yesterday.
Yeah.
They've invited him to be added to the lineup tomorrow. So he'll be throwing out a first pitch as well.
That's
so
amazing.
It's going to be it's going to be a pretty incredible day at Wrigley, and I hope to see so many of the mom members there. I'll be at the Brain Up tent at Gallagher Way before the game, but then I'll be around the ballpark. So hope to see a bunch of people out there tomorrow. It'll be a great day.
All right, brother. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for calling
in. Yep.
Hey, Danny.
Love you guys. See you.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate everything you said. It was great having you back here, bringing the whole Danny thing back to the score. We've missed you. It's been a heavy year at times and certainly a heavy week with the Rhino stuff, but it was great having you. But you've kind of intruded on our Fun in the 40s segment that we were supposed to do in the next segment.
Oh,
so
sorry.
I'm going to play. Yeah, I want to play this with you on the line. Nick's interaction with Rami. I'm sure you haven't heard it since it happened, but I'm just going to play it for you and speaks in the audience right now. This is Nick Wright calling for the second time in the 2 a.m. hour, since the 4 a.m. hour, 2 a.m. Vegas time, and this is him talking with Rami. I wanted Danny to hear it.
And joining us now for his second time during the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon is Nick Wright from Las Vegas. He has flown from New York to Vegas since he's been on, and he's had quite a blackjack session. What's up, Nick?
All right, so here's the deal, because I know I don't have a lot of time, and that's because you guys are busy, and also to prevent me from ruining my whole career. here is who am I on the air with other than Danny?
Who's the
guy laughing?
Rami Makhlouf. Good to meet you, Nick.
Rami.
All right, nice to meet you, sir. What? Nice to meet you, Lonnie.
I mean, it was so great. It was so amazing. And I mean, there's a long backstory to it that I will tell a very brief version of. Spiegs, he was hammered. And like, he's playing in the $25,000 heads up poker championship right now. He actually just won his first round match to advance to the round of 32. He could play Jason Kuhn in the round of 32, maybe the best no limit hold'em player in the world. And so they had a big welcome thing at Poker Go last night, and we were replaying an interview at 4 a.m. and he called me, and I was like, "Hey man, I'm talking to Mitch about something. Like, I got to go back on the air." And he was like, "Okay." And he proceeded to tell me a 5.5 minute blackjack story. Like, he just blew past the fact that I was on the air and had been up for 19 hours. And he was like, "You know what? I'm gonna come back on. I got a cool opportunity for the audience." And then Lonnie Makhlouf is good, by the way. He's a talented host.
Rami Makhlouf, good to meet you, Nick.
Rami,
nice to meet you, sir. Nice to meet you, Lonnie.
It was the fact he said, "Hold on, let me do this right. Who am I talking to? All right, great. Rami, got it. Okay, Lonnie. All right, okay." That's just amazing. All right, we
going great, Max.
Exactly. He's like Tom Hamilton to me. That's Nick Wright to Rami Makhlouf. Absolutely perfect. All right, dude. Good luck tomorrow. You're going to crush it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk soon.
All right, man. See you. That's Danny Parkins at 670 The Score. We will come back and tell you what's next. It's actually something very, very cool. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a wrap!
So coming up next on The Score, is not just a regular best of. This is cool. This is going to be 3 hours of the very best Ryan Sandberg content from this week. This is a late-breaking idea and a really good idea because there was incredible stuff from every single show after Ryan passed all the way through to and including the Radiothon. So that's what you're going to get for the next 3 hours right here on The Score. I think that's excellent. I'm sure that will include my dear friend Barry Rosner, who was absolutely brilliant in talking about Rhino the other day. Thank you so much to the listeners for hanging out and for texting in and for being there on the Twitch stream. Thank you so much to the mob. It matters. And even though I wasn't logged in, I was paying attention today, and it means a great deal. Thanks to Alex Kuhn, who does a great job as always. Thanks to Chris Tannehill for being an absolute gem. Thanks to Baby T, Tyler Feringle. That's his name. That's his name. For everything that he does before and after and surrounding. And thank you so much to all of you who have seen me and said hello. I'll be here on Sunday morning doing Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Kevin Brown, the Orioles TV guy, among the guests on the show on Sunday. Lots of requests into the Cubs and the Sox as well. Should be a pretty fun 3 hours and change. Have a great weekend, everyone. This is Spiegs for Spiegel & Holmes signing off. See you Monday.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.